Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. My name is Chris Lockhart. I am your hostess this evening. Hostess with the mostess, whatever you want. Hostess cakes, it's all good. And joining me is my co-host in crime, Mr. Jason Roberts. How's it going, Jason?
It's going pretty good.
Excellent.
Day to day. Take it day to day.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Yeah. So it's been about a month since we recorded, a month or so. Actually, it might be a little bit more. The Avengers episode, I believe, was our last episode. But we got busy doing stuff. I apologize to our listener or listeners of the podcast. yeah, we are here. We just do this for fun. I used to do a podcast, and Jason was part of this as well, where it was like a weekly podcast, and you know, you wanted to make sure you're out every week, and some people, you know, like listening to a weekly podcast, keep it in the rotation. But yeah, I just, the way my life is now, I just can't do that. So we record when we can, and it's been a little bit, but we are back, and we're gonna get right to it here. For this episode, this is going to be one of our franchise topics that we will come to every once in a while, and it's our Picks and Pans episode. And now, for this episode, we are going to discuss something that we've watched, read, experienced, whatever, and we will give it a pick or a pan and give our opinions on it and discuss and so on. So I'll kick it off here. On my list, my first pick is a mini series that I just, and I should point out that originally we were going to record this episode probably like 2 months ago, but then with the Avengers Endgame, podcast and so on and so forth, it kind of got delayed. So some of my picks are actually from a couple months ago, which actually, or pans, I should say, which is actually good because it's given me time to reflect. So, that being said, this one is a more recent pick. And it is a pick. And it is the Chernobyl miniseries that HBO just did. It's a 5-part miniseries with Jared Harris playing one of the lead characters. And I'm sorry, like, I don't really know the names of the characters because, you know, this miniseries took place, you know, during the USSR. You know, a lot of, you know, big Russian names. I can't keep track of them. The only one I knew was Mikhail Gorbachev because I recognized him because he got the birthmark on his head. So I was like, hey, I know that guy. That's Gorbachev.
Right.
But the rest of them, I'm not sure. But Jared Harris, I know him as an actor. He was on the Mad Men series. So I'm a huge fan of Mad Men. He was on Fringe for, I want to say, season 1 and season 4. He was on, there was an AMC series that they did last year about a couple of ships that got shipwrecked in the Arctic. He was one of the captains, the Terror, I believe that's what it was called, the Terror. It was also a miniseries. Great actor, he plays the lead in this. Stellan Skarsgård, the father of all the, you know, Skarsgårds that are running around out there. The patriarch, he's also in this miniseries. And there's a bunch of like other character actors that come into this. The guy who played Roose Bolton on Game of Thrones was on an episode. The guy who played Maester Luwin from the first couple seasons of Game of Thrones, he was on it. A lot of English actors. And the thing is, this, of course, is based on the events of Chernobyl, the real-life nuclear disaster that occurred in 1986. And honestly, like, I've always heard of Chernobyl. I've known about it a little bit, but I didn't know the specifics. I didn't know exactly what happened. And after this miniseries, I mean, there were some things that they embellished. There's certain things that they changed for dramatic purposes or just to simplify things for the viewer. For example, the one character played by Emily, oh, what's her name? Emily Watson, I want to say her name is. She's an English actress. She plays a...
From Harry Potter?
Yes, I believe so, yes. She plays a... No, no, not Emma Watson. Emily.
Okay.
She's an older lady, but I do think she was in the Harry Potter films. I think she played one... Oh, maybe she didn't. I don't know. But anyway, she basically her character is an amalgamation of a bunch of different scientists that were part of the whole Chernobyl investigation and you know, cleanup and that sort of thing. So she's a character that they created for the show that did a number of the different things that like a you know handful of scientists did. It is a very good miniseries. It's good to learn about, you know, nuclear disasters and so on and so forth, because, like, honestly, I didn't know too much about it. Chernobyl could have been a lot worse than it was. Like, right now, the nuclear reactor number 4 at Chernobyl, it's still... on meltdown. Like, I mean, it's still could be catastrophic. Like, it's still something that's going to be have to be taken care of for thousands of years. I think they said it was like 24,000 years until that thing's done, you know? So, you know, it's going to be with us for the rest of time, probably. Well, at least 24,000 years. But yeah, no, it could have been a lot worse. A lot of people literally sacrificed their lives, and some of them knowingly, some of them didn't. One of the things you learn about this series, just how intertwined the KGB was with the Russian nuclear program, and how they, you know, kept a lid on things. You know, like they... You know, certain things weren't allowed to be revealed. So, despite all that, you know, like, because, I mean, they were just sending guys in, like, yeah, go fight that fire. Well, you know, should we worry about it? No, it's fine. Go ahead. Go and fight it. And then all these firefighters die of radiation poisoning. Like, it's crazy that, you know, like, they kept things secret, you know, from these people. But some of the people did know what they were getting into it and still, you know, literally gave up their lives for the betterment of mankind, because this nuclear disaster could have been so much worse. Like, literally, it could have destroyed Europe, essentially. And made Europe uninhabitable for like I said, 24,000 years. So it's a great miniseries. I highly recommend it. It's 5 episodes. They roughly run about an hour. They might go a little bit more than an hour. I'm not exactly sure, but it's roughly about an hour. Definitely worth it. It was great. So that is my first pick, and it is Chernobyl by HBO. Jason, what's up on your list, sir?
I actually just finished... At first, when I first watched it, it was... it was super cheap. It's Bruce Campbell's The Evil Dead series Stars.
Yeah.
And when I first watched, I mean, I always loved the movie, so I was always a big fan.
Yeah.
And it's Bruce Campbell. Yeah. I love Bruce Campbell. But I started watching the show. I thought the show was funny and it was super cheesy and stuff. But it was like I just had a hard time getting into it for some reason. And then finally, I just broke down actually just a few weeks ago, and I watched like all 3 seasons. Like, I just binged watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got better with the stories and everything going on, and it's just straight up just cheese. Like, it is just, it's Bruce Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I actually found myself really enjoying the show, and it was surprisingly, like, a lot of the animatronics and the graphics it got better. Like, the 3rd season was really good. And it was just, for considering their budget and everything, it was actually, simple story plot. It was pretty predictable, but at the same time, it's just that's when you're going in to watch these, you know, the Evil Dead series, you're not mm-hmm. really going in for the story plot. I mean, there are changes and discrepancies in between the movies, like certain names and everything else. And a lot of, from what I read, was they had to change a lot of some of the backstory and stuff due to copyrights. Because Universal still had the copyrights mm-hmm. to certain items within the show or the movies. And so they couldn't use it in the show. So they had to kind of change certain aspects of it. And all in all, it really didn't change the whole, you know, it was just kind of like, well, it's, you know, the name of the store is S-Mart, not, you know, whatever. I can't remember what they named it, but it was just like, you know, it's just like little things like that if you like really paid attention in the movies. But yeah, there was no correlation with the remake movie. That's kind of like it's out in its own little thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Bruce Campbell even came out and said it was like that was just a cash grab. You know, it was all pure entertainment and everything else. But
was he in that one?
At the very end of the credits, he had a small little like cameo thing. It's basically you see his silhouette and he looks at the camera and goes groovy.
Oh, okay. You know,
and that's it. You know. Other than that, no. You have the same car. You have like the same cabin and everything else. It's just, you know, it's a different group of people.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, but no. And this and the series is actually it definitely left you wanting more. Like especially the way they ended it, and it definitely the way they ended it, it was kind of like they fast forwarded them into the future. Spoiler alerts if you haven't. Mm-hmm. And it's a total Mad Max. Like he looks like he almost looks kind of like old man Logan. Like
okay.
He's got the black hair, but he's got the white streaks on the side, and they give him this leather jacket. He's in this car. Mad Max. It just screams Mad Max. But if you haven't watched it, I would definitely recommend it. I mean, it's definitely a no-brainer. It's a good popcorn. You know, you just go in. If you had a long day, you can just watch something stupid, violent, and funny. It's there you go. You know.
All right. Awesome. So definitely a pick. I never got around to watching it. I'd heard about it. But yeah, no, that's awesome. The problem is there's so much to watch. There's so much to watch out there. Like it's an embarrassment of riches. It really is. yeah, like there's the Doom Patrol TV series that's on right now. I think I have like 6 episodes I have to watch yet. And I mean, it's good. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, I got some things where I think they should tweak it a little bit. It could have been better, but overall, I'm pretty satisfied. It's just finding the time, you know, and it's one of those shows you really want to make the time for. You don't want to just kind of, you know, you're busy doing something else and put it on and watch it. You don't want to do that. You got to pay attention.
I'm that way with Titans. I've been wanting to watch Titans, but I just can't find the time to do it, and it's just like, all right.
Yeah. No, and Titans I really enjoyed. I'm looking forward to season 2. But unfortunately, that DC whatever universe thing that they were doing, like where they're doing original programming for their DC streaming service in the States.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you would have it because you're in the States. Apparently, like, they're canceling a bunch of them. Like, I know, like, Swamp Thing, I think, just came out, the first season, and they've just announced that it's canceled. Which to me is crazy. Like, I mean, you guys, like, DC just launched that.
Yeah, like, I remember just a few weeks ago, I just watched the trailer for it, and I'm like, oh, this looks awesome.
Yeah.
And that's all I ever heard of it again, and now that they just canceled it?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently, like, that streaming service is, like, shutting down or something. Like, it's not going to be a thing. I, you know, at the time of this recording, like, it might change. I'm not certain. And I don't know what the future lies for, like, Titans and Doom Patrol and all those other ones that are associated with it. because there was supposed to be what's that character's, not Stargirl, but
Starfire.
Not Starfire. She's basically like a female version of Captain America, but for DC. I can't remember what they call her. But they were going to do a show about her, but I don't think they are now. Like, I don't know what's going on. And it's very unfortunate.
This would be a good time for Netflix to pick it up.
Yeah, hopefully. Because I know in Canada, Netflix Canada picked up Titans. So I'm hoping they might pick it up in the States so there's still a season two. Like, I haven't heard anything yet. I'm assuming it's still a go, but who knows? And that's at the time of this recording, like, it was a few days ago. Like, and I know you saw this too, Jason, where it was announced that Sci-Fi has canceled Happy and canceled Deadly Class. And I'm so frustrated because Sci-Fi is notorious for pulling this bullshit. You know, like, they get these properties, and the killer of it is, a lot of times they do a good job. Like, for example, Deadly Class, in my opinion, was awesome. Like, it was a great first season. It was a pretty faithful adaptation of the Rick Remender Image comic. Like, it was really good. And I was recommending it to people. You know, it tells a good story, you know, a good season-long story. It ended kind of well, it did end with a cliffhanger, which I guess is not going to be resolved now. But, I mean, they're just notorious for this. Like, I know, I think, like, with Battlestar Galactica, the Ron Moore, they didn't cancel them, but they cut, from what I understand, is they basically told them, like, you got to wrap it up in four seasons, guys. And they did, which is unfortunate because I think they could have done another season or two with Battlestar. Yeah. You know, it was honestly like one of the things I'm going to be talking about later. One of the criticisms of Game of Thrones is it was rushed in its final season. And I really felt that with Battlestar Galactica as well. And I really believe it was because Sci-Fi told the producers, like, okay, guys, we're not going to tell you you're canceled, but just wrap it up in four seasons, you know, like, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like, you know, don't count on a season five. And I don't know why they do this, you know?
They did that too. At Sci-Fi, I had a show, two shows actually. It was Warehouse 13 and Eureka. Mm-hmm. And I love both of them. And they would actually do crossover episodes back and forth. Oh. And then they just stopped.
Yep.
And it was just kind of like, and I didn't finish the last season of Eureka because I think I just got so fed up. And it was the Warehouse 13. I love the premise. I love however the characters, and it's, I think they, what, they only had like four or five seasons,
I believe. So
it abruptly ended. Like, you don't, it just stopped. And, yeah, it was like, I'd love to go back and rewatch them, but at the same time, I just don't want to be, like, it'll be like watching Firefly and not getting that, you know, like, damn it.
Well, and the thing, too, is, like, there was last year The Expanse, which is a good TV series. I really enjoyed The Expanse, but again, after season three, they're like, okay, we're canceling The Expanse. Sorry, guys. Even though it was getting a lot of critical praise, like, And people were watching it. Thankfully, from what I understand, Amazon's picked it up. So there will be a season four. You know, so I'm kind of hoping maybe Deadly Class, you know, maybe, like, I've never watched Happy, but I know you were watching it. Hopefully these shows can find life elsewhere. I just don't understand what the F Sci-Fi is doing. Like, anytime I hear that they're coming up with something, it's like, do I even bother? You know, like, why set myself up? Just, you know. And it's unfortunate because they do a good job. I just don't understand what their thinking is. And it's very unfortunate with the DC streaming service that, you know, they've already announced that they're canceling Swamp Thing. Like, so I'm not even going to watch season one unless I hear that it's being picked up. elsewhere. Then it'll be like, okay, I'll check it out. Because I did enjoy, you know, the New 52 relaunch of Swamp Thing, like the Scott Snyder, Jeff Lemire Swamp Thing. I really enjoyed that. And from what I understand, they're taking a lot from that and a lot from the Alan Moore Swamp Thing for the TV series. So, I mean, I was kind of excited about it. But now, you know, like, why set myself up? Just, you know, yeah, so frustrating. So I guess that's a pan for DC streaming and a pan for sci-fi. Screw those guys. And speaking of pans, the next on my list, and it's funny because when I wrote my notes down, because like I said, you know, like this has been a couple months that since we were originally going to do this. This is dated April 24th. And my pan was Star Trek Discovery. Now, anyone who knows me, like if you know me at all, know my blogs, you know me as a person. Like I pretty much came out of the womb, you know, reading a Star Trek novel. You know, like that's the thing. Like I've been a Star Trek fan for as long as I can remember. Even before, you know, when I was little, like my mom told me that. Apparently, my dad and her recorded The Wrath of Khan on VHS, like when I was like a toddler, like 2 years old or something. I guess I always wanted to watch it. So yeah, even before I can remember, I've been a Star Trek fan. But I've never... Star Trek Discovery is one of those shows where I just felt they didn't get it. Like, I wasn't happy from day one, but I stuck with it. And I'm not one of those haters. I just want to stress that right now. I don't want, you know, Star Trek Discovery sucks, it's not my Star Trek, blah blah blah. No, I was willing to give this a fair shake, but for me and my sensibilities, it's just not my Star Trek. It's not for me. And I want to say this isn't the first time I've dropped a Star Trek. You know, back in 2003, I want to say, 2002 maybe, when Enterprise was on, I've never actually watched the third season of Star Trek Enterprise. I was not a fan of the Zindi War. That whole angle, I did not like it.
That went on and on. That was horrible.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was not for me. I did come back in season 4 because I was reading things that they, you know, they were doing this, they're doing that, and I checked it out. I was enjoying it. but then it got canceled. And same with Voyager. I honestly, I dropped Voyager, I want to say, halfway through season 3. And from halfway through season 3 to the end of season 7, I've probably only watched, you know, maybe 20 episodes, 25 episodes. Like, I watched a little bit in season 4, like, when 7 and 9 came in, like, when they did Year of Hell, and, you know, because because my aunt is a huge Star Trek fan as well, so she kind of, and she watches everything, and she kind of kept me updated, and this is back when, you know, we used VHS tapes to record stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd borrow some of her tapes to watch, you know, see what was going on, and but I've never actually watched Voyager from top to bottom. I've watched the original series top to bottom, Next Generation top to bottom, Deep Space Nine top to bottom, Deep Space Nine being my favorite Star Trek. Enterprise, like I said, I watched the first two seasons. I watched most of the last season. I've watched about half of Voyager-ish. So I mean, it's not just, I'm not just hating on Discovery just for the sake of hating on Discovery. You know, I have stepped away from Star Trek in the past, so that is currently what I'm doing.
Is it just the continuity, or is it just like a blatant?
The continuity is the big factor for me. Like, honestly, what would have saved the show for me and I think it would have saved it for a lot of Star Trek fans, is the fact that Alex Kurtzman and Brian Fuller, like when they launched this show, they said this is in continuity. This is not the J.J. Abrams universe. This is the original Star Trek universe. This is TOS, TNG, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise. This is in with them. Okay. I was like, all right. Because one of my issues with Enterprise was the fact that they were forgetting things, that they were doing things that shouldn't have happened at that time. They were ignoring continuity. So yeah. with Discovery, you know, that was the first thing I was noticing was, you know, this is not continuity. You know, if Star Trek Discovery was set after Voyager, if it was like, okay, this is the 25th century Star Trek, start fresh, yeah. I would have been like, okay, you got holographic communications, you got, you know, you got the Spore Drive thing going on, the Klingons are, you know, starting war again. I would have been, okay, sure, let's do this. But when you're telling me that this is like 10 years before Kirk and Spock, it's like, no, like it's not gelling here. Like things are not making sense. So had they said, okay, guys, this is a reboot. This is a new Star Trek universe. It has no ties with Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. You know, the Shatner versions. It has no ties with the J.J. Abrams universe. This is its own thing. I would have been like, okay, I'll give it a chance. And then I would have, you know, probably still walked away because it's not my cup of tea. But the fact that they're saying this is continuity and everything that happens in this show, you know, ties in with everything else, and I'm thinking to myself, no, it doesn't. It absolutely does not. And I know on the final episode they're kind of retconning it where they're erasing Discovery from history and all this other stuff. Like they're trying to salvage the situation, but it's not working. But the continuity is a big factor for me. Go ahead, Jason. Sorry.
Oh no, I was going to say because I haven't actually watched the show all the way through. I've been picking up little snippets here and there, and obviously what I've read off your blog. And, you know, just general conversations. And I mean, did they actually bring in Pike?
Like, they did, yep.
Like, is he like a main character state? Like, are they going to, yeah. I mean, I think it'd be really cool to have a series centered around him. Like I always liked Pike.
He
was never.
Well, the thing is Anson Mount is playing Pike. Who was Colin Bohannon on Hell on Wheels, which is probably my favorite Western on television. Western.
Oh, it's a fantastic show.
Yeah, I love that guy. Got a chance to meet him in Calgary this year. Really awesome guy. He came in second season as Captain Pike, and yeah, he was fantastic. And one of my notes here is like, why didn't they make a Pike show in the first place? I would love to have seen, you know, the Enterprise under the command of Captain Pike, you know, before, you know, pre, you know, leading to Kirk taking over. I think that would have been awesome. And he was the perfect choice. Like I love the actor that played him in the J.J. Abrams universe. Oh, what's his name? I can't remember his name, but he was the guy from Double Jeopardy. He's a Canadian actor, great actor. He did a good Pike, but Anson Mount nailed it. He was fantastic. But unfortunately, he went back onto the Enterprise on the final episode of the season, and he's not going to be on the show going forward. And from what I've heard, you know, of course this is all rumors because he hasn't, you know, he's a classy person, and of course he doesn't want to burn bridges. But from what I've heard, he was having some creative differences with some of the showrunners and some of the writers on the show. So it sounds like he doesn't want to come back. Like, I think they would probably bring him back, but by the sounds of it, he doesn't want to do it. which is
too bad.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. But anyway, yeah, as far as like the cast goes, some of them are really good. Like there's a character, Cadet Tilly. She's, you know, very fun. I love that actress. She's funny. She's cute. You know, she adds a lot of humor to the show. She's almost kind of like a redhead version of a Chekhov type of character. You know, like the, you know, everything's you know, new and cool, and you know, like she's a great character. There's a character called Saru, Commander Saru. He's an alien. I can't remember what his race is, but he's played by Doug Jones, who what was it?
Abe
Sapien.
Abe from
Hellboy. Yeah. Great actor. He was an excellent choice. I really like Saru. But unfortunately, the lead of the series, because they're focusing on a character called Michael Burnham, played by Shaniqua Martin Green from The Walking Dead, and she sucks. I mean, she might be a nice person, you know, but she's really not a good actress, and this character is a really one note character. You know, she's apparently the smartest person in the room because she's Spock's foster sister. But yeah, apparently she was raised by Sarek and Amanda with Spock, and for some reason Spock never mentioned her ever prior to the show. And you know, she's just not a good lead, and she shouldn't be the lead. Like, you know, Anson Mount is a leading actor. He should have been the lead. Or even, you know, having Saru. Like, he would have been a better lead, I think. I think it would have been more interesting having an alien as the lead. Because Spock's been like a co-lead, but we've never really had a lead alien. Like, we've had, the woman captain. We've had an African-American captain. We've had, you know, the bald British man captain. You've had the American captain, you know, but we've never actually had an alien lead on Star Trek. But for whatever reason they went with her, and it just doesn't work. And some of the other issues I had was, yeah, the continuity. And I've mentioned this in my blogs. There's way too many cooks in this creative kitchen. This show has 21 producers. 21.
Holy crap.
And 8 of them are executive producers. Okay, so I'm comparing season 2 of Discovery to season 2 of Star Trek Next Generation. On season 2 of Star Trek Next Generation, they had 8 producers, with 3 of them as executive producers. So you have 21 producers on Discovery versus 8 on TNG. I think there's too many people, too many cooks in the kitchen, too many people trying to have their, you know, fan service to the show, and it's not working. One of the tropes of the series is the fact that they always figure out the solution to the problem as a group. They all talk it out on the bridge. They go to this character has something to add, this character has something to add, then this character is adding something crucial, and then that character over there is adding something crucial, and then yay! You know, they do the Walmart chant, and they go to it. Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it happens all the time on this show. And one of the things I love about... have you seen The Orville yet? Seth MacFarlane.
I love The Orville.
Yeah, I love The Orville, too. I love the tone of The Orville. It is very TNG. And I love that. Star Trek is supposed to be optimistic. It's supposed to be a positive vision of the future. Discovery is the exact opposite. Like, just the sets and the lighting and the lens flares are fucking atrocious. Like, it's so annoying, the lens flares. But this show just feels dark and dreary. Like, it really feels like it's so dark. Like, it's... It should be brighter. It should be, you know, peppier. There was one episode where they were having like a bar night or something on the ship. It was a Harry Mudd episode, which actually was probably one of the better episodes of the season, of season one anyway, of the series. And you know, they're in the mess hall and they're drinking and having a party, and I think they had the Bee Gees playing at some point. You know, it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
But that, it's so rare. Those moments are so rare on the show. And they keep trying to reinvent the wheel. You know, the way the warp drive looks on the show sucks. Like, traditionally, in most, you know, like the TNG, and moving forward, TV series, like, you look out the window, you see the, you know, the star field, and when they're at warp, you see the lines as they're passing stars, right? But on this show, it's almost, you know, like the, you know how the Millennium Falcon looks, like when they're looking out the canopy? Oh, how
it's that,
yeah,
that
how
world.
Hyperspace? Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're doing on this show. Yeah, that's the way warp drive looks now. And it sucks. It's so annoying. And then, yeah, they have the holographic communication. Apparently that was a thing. Even though it was first introduced in Deep Space Nine, they're saying that, it was there all the time, and I guess they just chose not to use it for some reason. I don't know. And then they did an episode this season, which actually probably was the best episode they did of the season, where they actually went back to Talos 4, which is the planet that Pike was taken to on the original pilot, The Cage, and in the Menagerie two-parter. So you actually saw the Talosians on the show, because basically Michael Burnham takes Spock there, because Spock was in the show this season, again, played by an actor. Nice guy. You know, from what I've heard, because apparently he was at the convention that I met Anson Mount at in Calgary. I'm told he's a super nice guy, but he looks nothing like Leonard Nimoy. So that really took me out of it. At least Zachary Quinto, like in the J.J. Abrams films, he looked like a young Leonard Nimoy. You know, not exactly, but close enough that it sold me. This guy looks nothing. Like, you know, aside from the dark hair, He doesn't look like Leonard Nimoy. But then, yeah, like I said, his foster sister brought him to Talos IV because because his mind was screwed up and he needed them to use their mind powers to make him better, I guess. And then they updated the look of the Talosians and it just didn't look right. Like, you know, like, from the original Star Trek, that the Talosians, that makeup, you know, with the brains, you know, their heads being big the way they are, and you can see the veins and they're moving and stuff. Like, for 60s television, that was pretty impressive makeup, and practical special effects. And then with this show, they look like shit. Like I mean, you could tell it was them, but not quite. And they didn't speak. The original Talosians were played by women, and then when they spoke with a man's voice, right? So it was kind of off-putting a little bit, and it had a very alien vibe to it. Whereas these people, this version of them, they're clearly guys dressed up in these makeups, and they sound like guys. So there was that eeriness wasn't there this time around. But anyway, I could keep ranting on and ranting on. I'm not going to. Star Trek Discovery is a pan for me. I will not I will not be watching it next year at all. And I know I kind of, and you know what I'm talking about here, Jason. I don't want to throw names out there, but I got into an argument over Game of Thrones with a friend, and he was, you know, he was beaking about Game of Thrones and about how shitty it was and stuff, but he doesn't actually watch it, right? So then when I, you know, called him out on it and that, he brought up, well, you say, you know, say similar things to Star Trek Discovery, about Star Trek Discovery. But the thing with thing of it is I actually watched Discovery. I was actually hoping this would get better. I've watched every episode.
Yeah.
And I'm done. Like, you know, like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm, you know, at least I gave it a chance. You know, if you're going to, you know, not too off on a tangent too far, but if you're going to criticize something, watch it first. Put in the time. If it's not for you, then, you know, by all means, say what you want to say about it. But it just drives me nuts when people complain about something without actually watching it. And I just want to throw it out there that I've watched Star Trek Discovery. This, my opinions are my own, and this is based on me literally spending my time with this show in the hopes that it was going to get better, and it didn't. So, anyway, let's move on to something else. all right, so that was a pan. Jason, next on your list, sir.
This one's going to be a pan. Again, Sci-Fi Channel. I believe it was Sci-Fi Channel. Wynonna Earp.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to like the show. The premise of it was really intriguing to me. I'm a huge Wyatt Earp buff. Like, I wrote my thesis and stuff on it, like, for history and debate class, and just kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, the whole Wyatt Earp family. I did the whole history research for it, and I loved it. And, like, the stories and movies that came out for it, I just ate it up. And then when I saw this, it was just kind of like, oh, this is a very interesting take.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, obviously way into the future, following the family tree, and then, you know, having the curse of, you know, the Earp family, which a lot of people thought that there was an actual curse to it. You know, but it was like, it was very kind of had that supernatural, like the TV supernatural twist to it. You know, like you have your demons among, monsters.
Okay.
And it was very kind of, she turns out to be this chosen one, and she was able to wield the gun, and the gun, the Wyatt Earp's gun, the peacemaker, it was one of the few ways you can only kill demons or certain folklore that have come to life or what have you.
Okay.
And so she's become this, you know, against her will in the beginning, but after a while she kind of accepts it. And then she has her family and everything else, and they kind of go through all these little adventures. And the first episode was entertaining. Second episode kind of gets through, and halfway through it just seemed kind of like it was this cash grab, like this over, rather kind of treading lightly. It was just like one of those things where it's like, oh, we're suddenly going to make this character gay, just because, you know, so it just there's a lot of unnecessary things. Like, is the sexuality really that crucial to this point? Like, is this really, you know?
Yeah.
Or all of a sudden it's just, or they have this huge love triangle between her, one of the main characters, and they're like, yeah, he's in love with this person, and it just kind of, it turned into a bad CW, you know, just drama-filled, you know,
mm-hmm.
Twilight-esque. It was just very kind of like, went on and on, and I couldn't get into it, and then the acting was, it got worse. And it was just very kind of the formula. They repeated the formula over and over again. Like, I saw a lot of similarities on these, like the characters. You had this core group of characters, but all of them, it really reminded me of the early days, kind of like the middle seasons and stuff, of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, okay.
And it was just very kind of like, they took a lot. Like, certain characters, like, yeah, I was picking up on a lot of that stuff. And then the same thing with, like, the TV show Supernatural. Like, there's a formula, but and it, they almost seem to follow suit with it. And it just, like, I couldn't get into it. And finally, I just, it just became, you know, just this whole fan service and not mm-hmm. in a good way fan service, you know. But yet, I don't even know if it's still on. I think it's canceled by now. But I think they wound up getting, like, 3 seasons or something. But, yeah, I definitely just wasn't my cup of tea. I was kind of disappointed by it. So I just wound up walking away. I'm like, okay, this is definitely not.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know,
well,
doing things just because it's, yeah, it's like they do things because it's popular, or they'll just change things so that way they can cater to a certain, you know, like, group. Like, okay, well, they're complaining about this person, so we're going to change everything about that, you know. Or why can't we have a certain love affair between these two characters? Okay, so we'll change that. It's like, no, don't let the fans write the fiction. Don't.
Yeah.
Like, please, no.
All right. So, yeah, that was one I was going to eventually check out. That's on my list. The list that I probably will never get to. But yeah. Thank you. That saves me some time. Because, yeah, that does not sound good. All right. And speaking of fans writing things, I figure we'll do one more each to round out the episode. So my next one is actually a pick, but for many it will be a pan, and I'm gonna throw this out there, and that's Game of Thrones, the final season. And the reason why I say, you know, the fan thing is, I think a lot of people were upset with it because it didn't end the way they wanted it to end. You know, they had certain things in their heads that they wanted to, where they wanted it to go, and it didn't, and now people are upset. And to be fair, I don't entirely disagree with that. But it is what it is. You know, we are not the showrunners or the writers or the producers. And this is their show. You know, they can do with it as they will. And we just have to accept it for what it is. And I just, it's unfortunate because, you know, the internet really exploded, over this, over what happened with Game of Thrones in the final season. But I'm of the opinion that, yeah, maybe there's things that I wish they had done, things that could have been better. But it is what it is. And, you know, all the, you know, armchair, you know, writers that are sitting there, well, you know, I could have wrote a better show. I could have done this. Well, what I say to them is, please do. I really want you to write something better. Get it on HBO, and then I can enjoy it too. You know, if you can do better, then do it. You know,
right.
But anyway, it is my pick. It's still my favorite TV series. But it did have some issues, and I will go into them a little bit. You know, the big issue, the big elephant in the room, I think, and I think for most people, is it was too rushed. The last two seasons only had 13 episodes combined, whereas the first 6 seasons had 10 episodes for each season. They definitely, in my opinion, needed the 7 additional episodes that were lacking for the last 2 seasons to help with the narrative and with character development. For whatever reason, you know, they went with shorter seasons these last 2 seasons. And I mean, don't get me wrong, they did some amazing things. They made some amazing episodes. But at the same time, I think there's things that were left to our imaginations that really shouldn't have been, things that should have been explained and weren't, And I really think those seven additional episodes, you know, so it would have been three for last season and then four for this season, really would have helped. Like for example, the you know the probably the big episode of this season, the last season, was the episode The Long Night, episode three, and really it should have been three episodes in itself. Like it was what happened in that episode was huge, and easily could have you know been expanded to three episodes, and I should say spoilers, you know. It's out there, you know, like the show ended, you know, 3 weeks ago. So,
watched it by now. Come on.
Well, have you seen it, Jason? Am I going to spoil anything for you?
Oh, no. I've read everything. I watched the episodes okay. And all the cliff notes and stuff. So yeah. It's
okay. So I'll continue on. Danny's descent into madness, in my opinion, was way too rushed.
I have to find the video. If I find the video, I'll post it. But it was one of those things where it's like, I noticed it too. It was rushed. I feel that it could snap. But at the same time, it was kind of like, I think they were planting seeds.
Oh yeah. They definitely
in the very beginning.
Yeah. Like there was definitely some foreshadowing. But I think that threw a lot of people off that, you know, the way she snapped in episode five. But at the same time, again, you know, not apologizing for any, you know, creative decisions. I mean, I didn't make them. But people snap, you know, like that's the thing in real life. Sometimes people just have a breaking point, and she had her breaking point in that episode, and she went batshit crazy, you know, like, you know, she was literally sitting on the back of a weapon of mass destruction and said, fuck it, you know. And and in my mind, she had her reasons as well. Like, I know one of the things, and again, had they spent a little bit more time on her descent into madness, you know, working it up a little bit more, I think would have been not as jarring for people. But one of the things, like one of the comments she made, I think it was earlier in that episode, was how, you know, when she liberated, you know, the cities in Essos, Marine, Yunkai, and I can't remember the name of the other city, like the people cheered her on, like the people helped her liberate those cities, like the slaves fought against their masters, right? Like when they knew she was coming, you know, and they loved her for it. Whereas in Westeros, people don't see her as a savior. People don't love her. People don't want her there. And I think, like, when she was sitting on top of that dragon and she was seeing all the people still in King's Landing, you know, clearly they made their choice. They, you know, they decided to stay and under Cersei's rule, and she just snapped. Like, she was pissed off at him. But I don't think that was... Some people just didn't get that. They didn't understand. Like, people just snap sometimes. You know, like...
That crime of passion type deal. That...
Or it could be, you know, like, you know, you have a friend or a neighbor who's the sweetest, you know, guy in the world, and then you find out he got arrested for beating someone up in a road rage incident. You know, like, I mean, it does happen. Like, I still say to this day, one of these days... I'm going to get arrested for beating someone up, road raging, because stupid stupid drivers piss me off.
Oh, like,
you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when they almost caused me to get in an accident. But anyway, I'm not going to go on into that tangent. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is people can snap, and she snapped. And one of my other little nitpicks that I did have is the final episode really needed a fight. Like, we needed some sort of release. And I really think what was suggested, and I think it would have been amazing had they done it, when Jon was, you know, imprisoned for killing her, John should have demanded a trial by combat and have him fight Grey Worm. Because in my opinion, Grey Worm should have died. Like that, like he also yeah. snapped, and he went evil in my mind. But apparently, you know, and the thought of him just sailing away, it was like, that doesn't seem right to me. But apparently he's going to an island where there's killer butterflies. So joke's on him, you know, when, mm-hmm. when they get to the island of Darth or Nath or whatever. Apparently there's poisonous butterflies that only the natives are immune to. And I think Missandei kind of forgot to mention that to him. So he's going there to her homeland to help her people, and he's probably going to die by butterflies. And apparently George R. R. Martin wanted this show to be 13 seasons. He said to accurately tell the story in his books, it needed to be 13 seasons with 10 episodes per season. So the fact that they wrapped it up as quickly as they did, you know, is actually an amazing achievement in itself. But at the same time, you know, unfortunately there was a lot of build up with not a lot of payoff in a lot of respects. But at the same time, like I said, at the beginning, you know, what's his name? Dan Benioff and D.B. Wise, the showrunners of the show, like, I mean, they've been working on this for like 10 plus years now. Not just the show itself, but the fact that they talk to George R. R. Martin, get his blessing, get his cooperation. Then they had to present to HBO. They had to put everything in, you know, they've been working on this for 10 plus years. I totally understand them wanting to move on. And at the same time, I totally understand them not, you know, because one of the suggestions was, well, if they didn't want to stay, if they wanted to move on, because they're apparently going to be doing the next Star Wars trilogy, if they didn't want to stay, they should have just gave it to somebody else. But at the same time, they're kind, you know, like they didn't create this universe that is George R. R. Martin, but they did create this universe for TV. You know, so I completely, as a creative person, I completely understand they're wanting to end it on their terms. Good or bad, I mean, that is their decision, and they're right to end it the way they did. And, you know, like I said, I had a few nitpicks here, but at the end of the day, you know, this show gave me, you know, many hours of entertainment. And, you know, like it opened my eyes to a world, like, honestly, I was not completely aware of. Like, I prior to watching this show, I want to say about 6 months prior to that, because I'm not a fantasy reader. I'm more of a sci-fi, mystery type of literary reader. And one of my friends, because I was, I asked for suggestions on, you know, I want a good book series to read. And my friend Sheila recommended A Song of Ice and Fire, and I'd never heard of it before. Like I said, I'm not a fantasy reader, so it wasn't on my radar. So I Googled it, and I read the Wikipedia, and I was blown away. I was like, wow, this sounds really cool. But then I seen that it was going to be, that it was had been adapted for television by HBO, and that it was going to be airing, like I said, like 6 months later or something. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll wait and watch the first season and see if I enjoy it before I delve into the books. Because when I saw how big these books were, I was like, you know, I might just wait for the TV series and see, you know, if it is good. And it was. And I have since went and read most of the novels. I'm still going through them. Right now I'm reading Fire and Blood, which is the book that he just released last fall, and it is
the prequel style book.
Yeah, it's basically the 300-year history of the Targaryen family, like from Aegon's conquest forward, and it's great. It's fantastic. I've read Game of Thrones. I've read A Clash of Kings. But that's it. And then, of course, he did like a history book a few years ago. The World of Ice and Fire, I think it's called. I read that, too. But yeah, no, like it. This world is fantastic. I'm a huge fan of it. And yeah, you know, despite, you know, people's complaints and despite my own little nitpicks, Game of Thrones season 8 is a pick for me. Jason, do you have one more before we call this an episode?
No, you actually kind of took it. So
oh, well, I'm sorry. Was it Game of Thrones?
Yes, it was.
Okay, well, is there anything you wanted to add then before?
I would have to agree with you. As much as there was flaws and stuff within the last season, but I enjoyed it from beginning to end. And some of it I actually kind of saw coming. I mean, mm-hmm. although Bran becoming king, I don't know. Like, now, the more I think about it, the more it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely kind of like with her descent into madness and everything else. Like, going back, and people are just like, it just doesn't make sense why she did that. I'm like, you don't remember. Yeah, she liberated a lot of slaves and stuff, but she also killed anyone who talked back to her.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone had any form of a different opinion or tried to say otherwise, they were dead. I'm like, there was, you know, her actions, you know, she would lose her mind, like, if her dragons were gone. Like, mm-hmm. she would just be like, it was there. I mean, crazy was there.
Yep.
It just hadn't surfaced yet, you know. And, you know, I loved Tyrion, Peter Dinklage, like, mm-hmm. he was fabulous from beginning to the end, and I love that character so much, and it almost kind of bums me out that, you know, I can go back and rewatch the whole series again if I want to, but it's just like, I pretty much tuned in just for him. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like, I loved his character. But it's... Definitely, I enjoyed the character arc and stuff with Jon Snow. I thought that was actually really cool. Like, he never wanted it. He never wanted to be king. He just wanted mm-hmm. to, you know. And it was, they stuck pretty true to that. But I loved it. I was happy with it. But
yeah, me too. Well, one thing that one of the complaints that I read, and I think some people just didn't understand. You know, like with Jon being a Targaryen, like, and everyone was like, yeah. what the F was that about? Like, it didn't mean anything. It didn't do anything. It's like, yeah, it did. Like, it gave Daenerys one of the reasons for her madness. But, you know, like, she said, you know, for several seasons now that she intended to break the wheel. That, you know, this family and this, you know, this family's on top, and then this family's on top, and on, the wheel, you know, rolls over Westeros, and she was going to break the wheel, right? Yeah. But with her, you know, like, she, with her Hitler speech there, you know, addressing her troops, saying, you know, like, they were going to continue going, that they were going to march, you know, through Westeros, and, you know, free, you know, using air quotes, free the people, and then they would be going back to Essos, and she would continue doing this, and then she would essentially become queen of the world. To me, that kind of sounds like a wheel, you know, like, to me, that sounds like she's going to keep rolling on, and she's going to keep crushing people that oppose her. So,
yeah.
You know, she had been preaching about breaking this wheel, but she became what she was fighting against originally. Yeah. She became the wheel, and it was Jon that broke the wheel. It was Jon that had the birthright.
Stopped it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, Jon could have been like, even after, you know, he killed her and everything else, he could have just said, "Hey, dickheads, I don't care if you picked my brother to be the king. I'm the king. I'm the Targaryen here. He could have, and it would have been a civil war again, because they're, you know, like, I'm sure Sansa would have backed him up. You know, others would have backed him up, and it would have tore apart the realm, right? But he said no. I will accept.
I think that's the Ned Stark.
Yeah, well,
that's that training that.
Oh, absolutely! It was definitely the Stark influence, but he was the one that broke the wheel. He was the Targaryen that ended their reign. He never did change his name. He's still Jon Snow, and he accepted his punishment, and he went north where he wanted to be. Like, he was happy. You know, he would have been miserable as a king. Like, it wouldn't have been good for him. So he was happy, and he fulfilled his prophecy. Like, Azor, you know, like the whole, and that's another thing. People were mad because of the prophecy of Azor Ahai that, you know, the prince that was promised that, you know, that this prince would, end the darkness and, you know, save the world. He kind of did, you know, and I think people forget that. Like, yeah, it was Arya that killed the Night King. It was Arya that put the dagger in the Night King. But if Jon
had... That was a badass scene.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. But if Jon hadn't convinced Daenerys to come there, if Jon hadn't, overthrew the Boltons and rallied the North and become king of the North and then bent the knee to Daenerys, if he hadn't done all those things, the Night King would have eventually found a way to go through the wall somehow. Like, I mean, he wouldn't have had the dragon, but he would have found a way, obviously, because that was the whole plan. Yeah. That's why they were marching towards the wall. And, you know, the world would have been lost. So he did fulfill that prophecy in that he did bring an end. If he hadn't brought all the pieces together, Arya would never have been in that position to deliver the final blow. Like, she probably would have been killed.
Yeah.
You know, like, he did fulfill his prophecy. And not only that, but ultimately after, everyone assumed, it was referring to the Night King, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was actually referring to Daenerys. Because the Night King, for all his power, Daenerys had, an army. She had her dragon. She had ships, and she had a plan. She was going to go out into the world and basically take it over.
Yeah.
You know, he stopped that. You know, like, it would have been more death, it would have been more blood, it would have been more destruction, and he saved them. You know, so in my mind, yeah, the prophecy wasn't fulfilled word for word, but I mean, it's a prophecy. It's not... it's not an exact science. It's just, this is what's going to happen. And I mean, ultimately that's what he did.
Yeah.
But anyway, I could go on forever about this.
Right.
But, all right. So that was our first, Picks and Pans episode of the Pop Culture Pub podcast. Before we go, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet? And Jason, where can we find you, sir?
Well, as usual, my website, nerdylifeofmine.com, it's just where I blog about my day-to-day life, and I share, funny videos or just, occasional gaming and everything else. And also on Twitter, my handle is iRoberts3.
Excellent. And you can check my blog over at randomnerdness.blogspot.com. It's my Random Nerdness blog. Sometimes I blog there. I average about 2 or 3 blog posts a month. It's usually when I got something really important to throw out there, like the Game of Thrones or conventions that I will not be attending, that sort of thing. and then, of course, you can hear me here on the Pop Culture Pub podcast. And the Pop Culture Pub is actually a group on Facebook. If you're interested and you want to check it out, check that out on Facebook. Ask to join. I'm sure I'll let you in. I haven't denied anybody. I haven't had to kick anybody out yet. The pub has not become rowdy, which I enjoy. It's you know, kind of like Cheers, where everyone knows your name, you come there, and they're always glad you came, that sort of thing. So check that out on Facebook. I'm on Twitter as well, and Instagram and Facebook as ChrisLock1701. So our next episode that we're planning is... we're going to be doing an episode about comic book movies and the future of those movies. And we're kind of going to talk about movies that are going to be coming out, movies that we want to come out, the future of, like, the MCU, the future of the X-Men now that they're part of Disney now, and that sort of thing. So it's going to be a comic book movie discussion. That'll be on our next episode. So on behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, and my co-host, Jason Roberts, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. This was our Picks and Pans episode, and we will see you again in the future.